The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, he was the last captain to raise the cup for Cork in an All-Ireland final and for his county. The wait goes on. I'm joined in studio by Sean O'Gahalpin. Good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Commiserations. Hard to take gutting, this one.
Gutting from a Cork perspective, but congratulations, Declare. But the real winner yesterday, Pat, was the game of hurling. It was an epic from start to finish. As you can gather from my voice, it's nearly lost now at this stage. But from a neutral perspective, you couldn't ask for more. 70 gripping minutes, ended up in a draw, went to another 20 minutes of more epic hurling, and for Clare it was a great way to win, and for Cork it was cruel.
But that's sport.
No,
but let's talk about why it was so cruel. Because to be even at half time, to be level at full time, and then it goes into 10 minutes each way of extra time. And even, I think, halfway through extra time, it was level again. So it was nip and tuck all the way. But some people actually left Croke Park thinking there would be no extra time. There would be a replay. Does that need a change?
Definitely so. I was at the game myself, Pat, and I had known in advance that there was going to be extra time, and after extra time, it was still a draw. There was going to be a replay in 2 weeks' time.
On a Saturday, I think it was.
On a Saturday of that's the long bank holiday, August weekend. Obviously the fans that left didn't know about it. I did hear afterwards that some of the Cork fans had trains to get back home at around 6:30, I think, or maybe earlier than that. So they had to move from the ground. They had to go anyway and probably catch the game on radio. But maybe Croke Park or the GA should have announced it more publicly.
But I was thinking, when you get a cliffhanger like that, the fairest thing would seem to be at the end of 70 really pulsating minutes when everyone is totally knackered after 70 minutes like that. The fairest thing would have been to let them have a go again in a couple of weeks' time.
Great point, Pat. From a core point of view, we would have gladly taken a replay. And speaking to the Clare fans and supporters after the game, they would have taken a replay too. I don't know what the big rush is. Having a replay in 2 weeks' time would have been the fair thing, and I don't think it would have put much pressure on the split season that the GAA are doing.
Is there much talk in Cork circles of the free that was denied them in the dying moments, that which amounted to a 2-point swing, really, that would have given you the victory? After the game, I
won't tell you a lie, it did come up in conversation with most of the fans. We have benefit looking at slow-mo, and I mean, there's photographs and pictures going on. You can see the jersey clearly being tugged. Technically, it's a free. In Johnny Murphy's defence, he can only go in real time. Like, a tug of a jersey and a release happens in a nanosecond. And maybe he was concentrating more on other parts of Robbie Flynn's movement rather than the jersey. But it's not the main reason. We lost narrowly.
You're making no excuses, in other words.
Absolutely not, Pat. You know, and I think we need to be, as Corkonians, which we have been in the past, we need to be gracious in defeat and just take it on the chin. But
the wait goes on another year. It'll be 20 years then for the wait.
We're in triple famine terms. When you talk about Cork hurling not winning an All-Ireland, our previous famine period was 12 years from 1954 to 66. So you can imagine. You can imagine the impatience though that's building on Lee's side, and then and we did generally believe that yesterday
this
was the day to break the duck. And for most parts of the game, Pat, I mean, they were blow by blow.
Yeah,
it very was close to clear. But on the overall, when you're looking at a call like today, Clare were just that bit better.
They did score three goals.
They got in for three goals. I mean, you could counter that argument that Cork scored more points. But when it came to the key moments of the game, Clare came up trumps a small, but where Cork rushed, their shots a small. But and that's what pressure does to you. And then with a young building team, Pat, that are probably not used to tight key games, that can go against you.
Okay, a couple of odd things. The ref got injured in the middle of the game.
Yeah, never seen that one before, yeah.
And also he seemed to maybe have hamstring trouble towards the end. He was struggling a bit. Second thing, it was seen on BBC and people were astonished at the game. The speed of it, the skill of it. What is this wonderful sport?
Yeah, I'm not amazed by the reaction of the, you know, UK people. I had an uncle living in Canada. He'd come over every summer and the highlight of his summer was going to hurling games because we have this great product that the rest of the world don't know about much, apart from the expats that live abroad. And when you have two tight, evenly teams going at it for 70 minutes plus, there is no equal.
Yeah, absolutely. As a spectacle, it was fantastic. Well, once again, commiseration, Sean Oak. Thank you very much for joining us on a difficult morning.
No problem, Pat.
For you and for all of Cork. Nathan Murphy has another disappointment to talk about, and that's Shane Lowry, who blew it on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, he was in pole position on Saturday afternoon when he went to the postage stamp, which is one of the most famous par threes in all of golf.
Tiny green.
123 yards. And he found himself in the bunker and double bogey. He had got himself in prime position, 3-shot lead, weather starting to worsen, and a player who we know embraces the difficult conditions in general. But it was horrific on Saturday afternoon. The early starters got by far the best of it. And unfortunately, I think it just wore Shane down on Saturday. They were hitting driver into par threes,
yeah,
which is not something professional golfers are used to doing. He obviously made clear after the round that he was very frustrated with the officials, that they should have anticipated this a little bit better and brought forward some of the tees. They were hitting driver on certain holes. So they were hitting driver and then again in the middle of the fairway and still not able to reach the green. So these were not conditions that golfers generally play in. But Lowry will be, he'll be a little bit sickened, I think, when he wakes up this morning, because these opportunities don't come around very, very often. And the guy who did eventually win, Xander Schauffele, his second major of the season, was calmness personified both on Saturday afternoon and yesterday. Flawless, bogey-free round of 65, a very, very worthy champion.
Now, there was a more sport of the weekend, although we were just talking mostly about those two events. The Hungaroring Grand Prix in Hungary, quite an exciting one. Oscar Piastri got his maiden win.
Just about. His teammate Lando Norris to thank for giving him the victory. Team orders is one of the most controversial things in Formula One and destroys it for a lot of people. And eventually Lando Norris, who looked like he was going to win it, despite incredible pressure coming through the team radio to give the position back to Oscar Piastri, it didn't look like he was going to do it. And eventually he did. But Formula One, people got back into it with Drive to Survive. We had that incredible finale in Abu Dhabi. But Max Verstappen has become so dominant, people have started to switch off again. This year's actually been very exciting. The only unfortunate thing is that while it's sort of been split 50-50, Verstappen's winning half the races, all the rest of them have been divided between other drivers, so there's no real rival for him.
And but Verstappen lives up to his bad boy reputation yesterday.
He did. He got himself and Lewis Hamilton going back to Drive to Survive, had a bit of an altercation. Yet again, Verstappen, not one for apologising. Hamilton, not best pleased. Hamilton came out on top, which hasn't really been the case over the last couple of years between them. So, yeah, it's not quite the drama where we were a couple of years ago, but it's certainly well worth tuning into.
And finally, back to GAA and women's football.
Yeah, Galway. What a season Galway are having. They're in both All-Ireland finals. It's going to be Galway against Kerry in the All-Ireland ladies football final. They're obviously in the men's final next week, and they're in the All-Ireland Camogie semi-final as well.
Congratulations to Galway. Nathan, thank you very much joining us. Nathan Murphy of Off the Ball and co-host of Golf Weekly, and before that, Sean O'Halpine. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.